Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today we have Kara O as our guest. Kara is the Heart Whisperer, and I know a lot of you who are on Facebook and LinkedIn, Twitter have seen her all over the place. She is a best-selling author, and she has written books like Men Made Easy, and other titles include Affair Repair, From Flirting to Forever, Marriage Makeover Manual, and How to Win the Woman You Want. She is also a co-author of 101 Great Ways to Improve Your Life with fellow authors John Gray, Jack Canfield, Richard Carlson, Bob Proctor, and Alan Cohen. Kara is a dating and relationship coach. She is a seminar leader, an inspirational speaker, a radio and a TV personality, the mother of two fantastic grandchildren, and grandmother of what she terms a magical 14-year-old grandson. Kara has been interviewed on hundreds of radio shows and TV shows across the country in cities like New York, Atlanta, Las Vegas, Chicago, and Philadelphia. She's given seminars in bookstores in every major and few not so major cities and has been featured in magazines like Cosmopolitan and Women's World. Excuse me, I'm raspy today. Kara is an enlightening and entertaining public speaker and has traveled to all the major U.S. cities sharing her insights about what makes men tick and how to create amazing relationships. We're going to be talking a lot about how she writes these books and how she gets them out there. So it's very important that you know about these books that she's written. So good morning, Kara, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Nice to be
here.
How
are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's great to have you here. I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself with our audience before I just kind of launch into asking you the dozens of questions I have.
Well, gosh, I think you you covered all my most best bases.
Oh, right. I did my homework.
I just really, I'm 62, and I had no idea that my life would be the best it would ever be at this age. You know, I feel like I'm in my 30s and live in Santa Barbara in a wonderful home and great friends and living life and loving it.
Good for you. Now, your birthday's coming up. You're not quite 62, are you?
No. I have actually always gone ahead, and sometimes when the birthday finally shows up, I realize, oh, I'm a year younger than I thought I was.
Mm-hmm. When somebody asks me how old I am, I just hold up my hands and I say, I'm this many. I don't even know anymore.
That's good. I'm like that. I'm this many.
I'm
40, 22.
There you go. Exactly right. I think you are what you feel, and there's no question about that.
Yeah.
So you are up to all kinds of stuff. You've got some great books out there, and really what I wanted to chat with you about is how you do it. I mean, that is just so important. There are so many people who want to be authors. They want to get their books sold by the dozens or the hundreds or the thousands, and you do it. You do it every day.
Yeah.
So I consider you an expert in this, and I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
Okay, that's great. You know, I do get that all the time. People find out what I do, and they say, oh, I want to write a book. And I ask them always, do you write? Well, no, I don't have time. I said, then, you know, you have to write. That's the first rule.
Even
if you don't know what you're going to write, you sit down and you write, and you choose however long every day, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, to write.
So you schedule it. It becomes part of your work day?
Yeah. And if you say, oh, my God, I haven't done any writing today. So you sit down, and even if it's an article or just your thoughts or whatever, it's the habit of putting whatever it is you want to write about down on paper or on your computer or whatever.
Right. Well, how did you come to write your first book? I mean, what prompted you, and what was the odyssey there?
Well, actually, I wrote the book because I wanted to do more public speaking. That's what I love that. And it's funny, I ended up thinking, loving the writing so much, I became a writer rather than a speaker. But I looked around, what is it that I could write about that would be of interest to women? Because I knew my market was women. I wanted to speak to women. And, you know, I thought, well, shoot, men. So I actually had been teaching a workshop on sexuality. It was called Embracing Our Sensual Selves. And it that really came out of sort of waking up to a whole new world after my divorce. I went to Bali, and this lovely man seduced me. And it's like, holy moly, I didn't know all this was out here. So I came back to Santa Barbara. I'd been living in Bali, and I took a workshop from Alison Armstrong, and I loved the panel idea. She brings in a panel of men, and so I in my workshop, I had 30 women in the room talking about sensuality. It's about falling in love with being a woman, and I brought this panel of men in and had to interview them to be sure they could, you know, sit in front of 30 women and talk about anything. And they started teaching me things I never knew about men, and I knew the women that I knew didn't know. And so I actually stopped the workshops and spent 2 years studying men, researching and you know, interviewing men formally and informally, reading every book I could find about them, taking men's magazines, subscribing. They're very different. And that's how I wrote the first book, was, you know, I did major research. It wasn't just a lark. There's a lot of stuff, especially on the Internet, where they're really not writers. Some of them aren't. They just hire other writers because they're marketers. Mm-hmm. I'm not a marketer. I'm a writer, and I have stuff I want to share, and I want to make a difference in people's lives.
Now, what was the name of that first book?
That was Men Made Easy.
Okay. I thought it was.
And that one, and the title came to me sort of in a dream. And I actually went around the country on book tour and spoke in, literally, we were in an RV. I was married to the dung beetle at the time. And that's my
I'm
pet,
not gonna ask.
My pet name for him. I could be calling him something worse, but then I wouldn't be a lady.
I'm not asking. I want to, but I'm not.
No. And he had this big, huge RV. It was the size of a city bus. And then we had a little, a big trailer behind it, and it held a small Mercedes, one of those little convertibles, the older ones, and then on top it had two Sea-Doos, jet skis, and a quad, and like all those stuff.
Wow.
And we set out across the country, and literally every day I planned the trips, and he just did the driving at night, slept during the day, and every morning we were in the parking lot of a TV station. Or a radio station. Every city, my goal was to have two radios and one TV. And we did that every day for 2 months on one trip and a month on another trip. And then we went halfway across to Tulsa twice because we had to go there for business reasons. Like, okay, we're doing a book tour. We're going to do it.
So my next question is, of course, did you set these up or did you just show up and say, here I am? I mean, clearly you set them up.
Well, absolutely, yeah. You have to set them up. And it's funny, I spend a lot of money on PR companies. And I ended up being better, and I finally went with like the big one, and I won't say the name, but I was better at booking media than they were. And everyone always said, oh, don't call yourself because it'll look like you're not professional. No, you do call yourself, and they get to do a pre-interview with you. They love it.
Well, see, that
they
makes sense to me. So who do you call? I mean, I know a lot of
well,
television
what
stations
I did,
have bookers.
Yeah, you want the best radio stations, like the highest, most popular ones. And you want morning drive time. That's like the peak listening. And what I learned in my endeavors was that, for one thing, the bookstore ladies, I forget what they're called now, the ones who are in charge of the authors, they will tell you who are the ones you should go to. But I learned that clear channel, things have changed a lot in the radio world with the Internet, but at the time, Clear Channel was the big company, and they owned, generally, you could count on them having the best shows. So I just went on the Internet, went to all the Clear Channel stations in all the cities I was going in. You can do all that. And then I would call them up, find out the name of the producer. You need that from the person at the desk, talk to the producer and tell them what your deal is. And, you know, my title, Men Made Easy, they were like, yeah, we want you. They don't even know what it was about. So that helps. You have to have your pitch that really gets their attention. And then you have to know that the number one priority in doing any interview, including this one, is that it needs to be entertaining. Otherwise, mm-hmm. people are not going to stay tuned in. So that's, even though you have this message you want to get across, like sometimes I'd almost forget, oh, my God, I've got a radio. You know, I'm going to be doing a bookstore thing tonight. It's got to be entertaining. And they mm-hmm. and they'll keep you on for, can you stay another segment? I got that all
really?
The time. And then they would run my, I'd start getting book sales out of the blue from some city I hadn't been in for months. They'd run an old show.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be entertaining.
Nice.
But it's easy. And I did the, you know, I would call the main ABC, NBC, Fox in every city, get the morning, the you know, TV show. They loved it. They always said yes. The only place I couldn't get media was Chicago. It was the weirdest thing. New York City, no problem. I was in New York City several times. No problem. Chicago, I could not get any media. I don't know if
maybe
it was the Oprah factor and everybody's going to Chicago or what.
You know that... You may have hit on something.
I don't know. I always had to go to a suburb.
No
problem with the suburbs, but not in the city of Chicago. It's the most strange thing.
Yeah, that is odd. And yeah, I'm going to have to give that one some thought. About midnight, I'll
Oprah.
Come up with an answer. Something will pop into my head. I'll email you around midnight.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? So once, I mean, I'm fascinated with how you got yourself booked, because this is a huge issue for people that... You know, they've got a great book or they've got a great story, and they just, that's where it ends, because they hit wall after wall after wall. And like you say, you pay for these, you know, fairly large companies to get you out there, and it doesn't always work, which is a shame, but
it
that's
is.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is by just going, I can do this, and I'm going to do it on my own. I love what you said about you need to be there to sell the book yourself, to sell
Absolutely.
Yourself to the booker. That, see, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, see, they get to do a pre-interview with you. And
right.
if you're lively
right.
on the phone and you're enthusiastic about your topic and you can give them a, you know, some snappy stuff right away, like
right.
what's it about, and you have your really good snappy talking points, because they only
mm-hmm.
have maybe 2 or 3 minutes for you.
Well, and the other side of that coin is I get requests for people to come on this show all the time. Their VA may contact me or they may contact me directly. I always set up a pre-call because I don't know if they're going to just sound awful.
That's right.
Or,
so
you know, your voice
two phone
is very,
calls
very
you
important.
With. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and, you know, we're too busy. I think I'm not a major radio station, but I can see very clearly why contacting that person directly
mm-hmm.
and letting them get a feel of who you are and how you're going to come across on the radio can be critically important.
And it's real important that you get their name.
Mm-hmm.
They are people, and it's important. You know, they
right.
need to feel important. And if you don't know their name, and if you don't know the format of the show, you have to do a little research. You shouldn't be, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing a morning drive time, and your topic is, I don't know, anorexia, it's not going to work, because morning drive time is lively and fun and snappy, and it's getting
oh, yeah.
people, you know, off to work.
And
so
not
you
only
have
that,
to know,
but if you look to the car to your left, somebody's eating something from McDonald's. So anorexia is not what they want to hear about.
No. Well, no, and they don't want a serious topic.
No.
So you have to fit it to the format.
Gotcha.
Same with magazines. You know, you have
oh,
to
really?
Pay attention. Yeah.
So you do your research and you talk with the people. Have you managed to get booked by getting in magazines or no?
Actually, they approached me.
Oh.
I was in Cosmo all the time. I was one of the... You know, they have their Rolodex, and
mm-hmm.
whenever they wanted a relationship expert or in particular an expert on men, they would call me. They haven't for, you know, some time, but, you know, I haven't been on the map for some time either, because
mm-hmm.
I prefer internet now. I don't even talk about my paperback, because I want them to be able to get the workbook and the audio and the other ancillary things that I include with it, including a 20-minute coaching call, and then I have this online private women's support group that's just for women who've read my books. I can't offer that with the with just the book, so
mm-hmm.
I never even talk about it. Most people don't know I have a book.
Gotcha.
So, oop, the cat's out of the bag.
Let's go back to books just a sec. I made myself a note because you were talking about how to get on, you know, radio and television. How do you get into bookstores? How do you do a?
Oh, that's so easy.
How do you
easy.
Get into bookstores? Is it that's, easy?
Oh,
you heard my voice go up an octave. you must share.
Well, you just I can't remember what they're called. There's a title in all the bookstores for the person that is the one who you contact for booking these events. And I can't think of what it is, but you call them up and find out what it is.
Right.
And
right.
You just figure out where you want to do, you know, the book signing. But you really you don't want to do just a book signing. They're boring, unless you're famous. You need to give them some reason to show up. And I always did a talk, and it was a lively talk. I have this puppet which you can see on. MenMadeEasy.com has the puppet that I used across the country, and it's got, you know, starts with the prince, and then we rip that off, and he's got the modern day prince is the successful guy. He's got his little Armani suit, and then, you know, he's not a good catch either because he's not available emotionally and time wise. So you go on to the guy with the, you know, and so I had this thing that I used across the country, and they loved it, and I was able to give them the lively pitch to this person in the bookstore. And I always got, you know, you have Barnes and Noble, Borders, or you should do research to find out if there's a big local store. And those are less and less, even at that time. A lot of them, you know, they'd already gone under.
Yeah.
But if there's a local store that's really big and popular, those get more of the, and they were the first to do the more of the coffee house thing. Now they all do. Borders and Barnes and Noble both do the coffee house thing. And so, I mean, most of the stores I did was Borders or Barnes & Noble. I liked them both. They're different. They're noticeably different in just how the energy of the stores. It's really fascinating. Borders is a little more homey, and you're more likely to find stacks of books laying around on the floor, I noticed, whereas Barnes & Noble was more pristine and always just more... Not cold. I actually ended up, it took me a while to warm up to them because it was so, like, tidy, perfect. But they were great at, you know, bringing good people, lots of people in. And, you know, I had to bring the people in. Certain bookstores just drew more. And the radio and TV is to get the people into the store to do your signing, your talk. And sometimes, you know, I'd have 50 people in there, and I did a lively talk, and it always amazed me that they would stand in line patiently for me to sign their books. Like, oh my God, this is so strange. And it was heart melting.
Yeah, I bet.
I never ever thought, like, it never went to my head. I just thought, this is so amazing and so sweet. That these people, they wanted to take a little piece of me home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to tear up.
Well, you're talking about very special subjects.
It is, yeah. Personal. And that's why I think, you know, that this TV show you and I kind of, you know, launched today, it's the same thing, you know. It's like there's a real person there. Someone wrote already this morning on Facebook and said, I loved this. I learned something, and it's so much more interesting than reading the same information in an article.
Right, right.
And so
we're going to talk about that show too. We do have some questions in the chat room, though, about the. We have so much to talk about. I'm like, okay, where do we start? Okay, there's a question in the chat room. Do you go directly to the individual Barnes and Nobles and Borders stores? I think you kind of answered that. I mean, you did go directly to the. I think the question is, she might have to clarify it. Did you contact them directly and then create the radio show and then
go
back?
No, I created my own. They don't do the media for you.
Okay, that's
you have to get your own media, and they want to know that you're going to do that. They don't want you to just go. No, I don't. Huh? They want to know that you are going to draw the people into their store to make it a worthwhile event for them, to give you the time.
Sure.
And you have to know what you're doing.
So if you approach them and you have a plan and you can back it up, let's say the plan is you're going to pull 50 people in there by going on local media, TV, radio,
right,
with the date. You already arranged the date with them. Then you go start promoting it and you bring the people in, and all they have to do basically is host it. So they're happy with that?
And you need to give them several weeks' notice depending on the city.
Okay.
Some more than others. You know, New York, I had to go, you know, a couple of months out. But what we did is we would plan the trip a couple of months ahead of time and look at the drive, because we were driving. A lot of book tours, they throw you on an airplane and you really kind of do the just the main cities. We did every day, every evening I had a bookstore. I mean, Carl, the dung beetle, he drove his little heart out. He drove all night long while I slept. And then when we'd get to, you know, the whatever, TV or radio, depending on whichever one the first one was, we would park in their parking lot usually and sleep a little while. I'd get ready, do all my makeup and, you know, whatever, especially, you know, TV. Mm-hmm. And then he'd take me to the next radio station and then the next whatever. We usually had three in the mornings. And then we would go to the bookstore and park. And we had big signs on the side of the RV. He was so cute. I mean, I call him the dung beetle because he really screwed me over at the end. But he really...
It sounds like he was a great guy while you had him.
He was fun and good to my mom and good to my grandson, but he kind of took about $50,000 from me. Stole it,
so
basically.
That would pick me off.
But me being stupid. So that's why he's the dung beetle. But he really did really work hard for me to make all this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would park in the parking lot, my book's big, huge cover of my book on the sides, and then we made signs, nice signs at Kinko's that said the time of the event, and we'd be sitting there in the parking lot all day long. And, I mean, the RV alone with this big old trailer in the back was, nobody had big RVs like that then. It was just like, whoa.
No, it's
so
like
we got
you're
a lot
traveling,
of attention.
It's
and
your
then,
traveling green room.
Yeah, and you need to let the person in the bookstore, I just feel stupid, I can't remember what they're called, know what you're planning. And if you don't know what the media is, it's always good to ask them, okay, we're going to be there in 2 months, 6 weeks, whatever. What would be the hottest drive time shows and the hottest morning TV show? Because every city has, you know, in one city it may be ABC, in another one it might be Fox, where is the most popular morning TV show, news show. And then if they don't know, then you have to do your own research. But I always told them, my goal is to have two radio and two TV. And sometimes, you know, the second radio would be afternoon drive or just some talk show or something funky. Occasionally you'd end up with something really funky and it's like, holy moly, this is... What am I doing here? They probably got three listeners.
Yeah.
But you don't,
we have
you know,
that
sometimes
here.
You just don't know. They've got a great website, and then that's all they've got.
Yeah. My next question is, I know I don't watch local TV. I watch very little TV at all, but I know that most local towns have their little local program. Here it's called Passepartout. It's a little French program. They'll put just about anybody on there. Do you target shows like that, the little strictly geographical shows that are talking to people directly in those towns?
Well, when the goal is to get people to show up for an event, absolutely, because you want the one that the locals are watching as they're getting ready to get, you know, out the door in the morning.
So that you would really want to target them as well.
Right. Okay. And if there is a talk format, those are the best, because if your market is women, those are the best. Because women are the ones who watch those little talk show formats, you know, whether you're sitting, a couple of ladies sitting on a nice little couch and a couple of chairs, little living room setting, those are great.
Right.
But also, I'll just give you an aside for writers. I was at a writers' conference in Santa Barbara, and I remember this statistic so clearly. It was a breakout session, and they said 70—I'm sure the numbers have changed some degree—but they said 74% of all books are purchased by women, 95% of all self-help books are purchased by women, I was going to be writing a relationship self-help book, so I did the math for myself and figured it was 99.9999% would only be women buying that book. And in other words, and they did say it, if you want to sell a lot of books, unless you're doing something more technical and money-wise, business-wise, career-wise, write for women.
Gotcha. And see, that makes sense.
It does.
I mean, it really does. I mean, just from a logical and statistical standpoint, it makes perfect sense.
So I have one book for men. That's it. And that was started as sort of a joke. Like the guys go, well, when are you going to write Women Made Easy? And I thought, well, I can't do that. That'll never fly. But then I thought, well, you know, once the internet took over, I thought I can do that. So I started out as Women Made Easy, but I never felt good about that. It just didn't feel right. So I really made a better book, wrote a better book, and now it's How to Win the Woman You Want. And it's really the marketing on the sales page is if you're ready for a real relationship where you have a woman, you know, you want to find a woman to love as opposed to just to get laid, this is the book for you.
Because
there's plenty How to Get Laid, but... You know, that's kind of, you know, if you're going to market to men, you're probably going to be more successful with
right.
How to Get Laid.
Do a little soft porn type of
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, it's, you know, you can be a total doofus, and you're going to be able to get supermodels with my book. That's kind of what's out there.
Oh,
I can't believe
okay.
men fall for it, but they do.
Well, we're not going to go down that road.
Yeah.
There's some chatter going on in the chat room, which I will not be chatting about on the air either. So I'll share it with you later. So,
okay.
Kara, what was the writing process when you began? Because I know you've been doing this for a while. Has it changed substantially from then
to now? Actually, yes. You know, I took a nonfiction writing class. We have a fantastic adult head here, or at least we used it until the budget started crunching, in Santa Barbara. Took a nonfiction writing class, and he kept saying, you need fiction qualities in your nonfiction. And so I took a fiction writing class. He ended up being my editor, and we became fast friends. But I'm not good at outlining. Some people are great at outlining. And it's the same as math. It's kind of like, it feels like math to me. I don't do math.
Mm-hmm.
And so my process was, you know, I was interviewing men, formally and informally. I was playing golf, so every time I went out as a golfer, you know, the guys didn't know that's what was going on, parties, whatever, but I would also make appointments and sit them down.
Right.
And I was taking notes and taking notes and taking notes. I was reading books about men, just trying to describe men, taking notes, looking at these magazines, and I ended up with all these notes and handwritten. And so I would, what I did was took the notes apart, like maybe one, I always had the yellow pads, the legal pads. There would maybe be 5 points on one piece of paper, but they were different points. So I would cut them and make strips of the different points. And I had this big pile of notes. And I remember clearly, like I did it yesterday, I thought, well, I think I've got enough information here. This is 2 years that I'm researching.
Mm-hmm.
So I took all these little notes and I started laying them on the floor in piles. And it's like, okay, that's of that topic. That one matches over with that topic. And I ended up with these 11 topics that they all matched in. And I thought, well, you can't have 11, you have to have 12. Now I know that you should have odd numbers. Marketing-wise, you should have odd
really?
Numbers. Don't know what that's about, but and the people who tell you, it's like, nope, seems to be the thing. Odd
numbers.
I have
never heard of
that. So I should have stuck with 11 or 13.
Really?
But I didn't know. I did an
tip.
Even dozen. So I kind of made up one more secret. And these were, I just decided those are going to be the secrets about men. That was my process. I don't do that anymore. Now, because I just kind of know my material so well, I just do free flow writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just start writing.
Well, sometimes that's the best because you get, really, that's your authentic voice, I think, when you're a stream of consciousness type of
it
thing.
It is. That's right. And I'll this is triggering something that writers, I love telling writers this. If you lose something, like, you know, on the computer, I lost my whole book. Fortunately, I had a hard copy. But if you lose, say, a great sentence or a great paragraph or a great chapter, you cannot go back, unless it's like just the sentence and it's you still remember it, you have to start over. You can't go back to try to remember what it was you wrote. It's a different part of your brain. Stream of consciousness happens over here. When you're retrieving, it happens over here. And so it's never going to be as good if you're in the retrieval mode. So if you lose a good paragraph, start over. Go back into that stream of consciousness, even if you have to go away, have coffee, whatever, so that you're not in that, oh my God, what that was such a good chapter, and you're in your retrieval brain. Does that make sense? Did I say that to where it makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely, because yeah. I have the same issue. I'll write something down and think, okay, that's brilliant, I'll come back to it, and then I'll shred the darn piece of paper because I'm very tidy. But
yeah.
you and I have had this kind of same conversation. You know exactly what you're talking about here. You're the expert because you just lost a whole bunch of work. Somebody broke in
oh,
to your
yeah.
house and stole your computers.
Yeah, yeah, I
so
lost
tell our audience
a good
about
five
that.
Books that were in different stages of half to three quarters or more done, gone.
Wow. But do you find that because you're willing and able to rewrite it, that it's coming back stronger?
I haven't
Are you happy
started.
With what's going on?
I haven't started on that.
Oh.
One of them, Feminine Grace, which was like I was loving how that had come along. Fortunately, I had sent out part one to the women in the support group because I wanted feedback. When I wrote Men Made Easy, because I wanted to do, I wanted people to write, to read it cover to cover. When I buy nonfiction, I usually, there's some main point I'm writing, buying it for. I usually get to that main point, or I go to it first. I don't read most nonfiction cover to cover. So what I did is I wrote a story, and it actually starts once upon a time. And in every chapter, there's this wise woman, Deidre, who teaches these three women about men. And then the second part of each chapter is my voice, the author, the nonfiction voice. And so I had both the story and nonfiction in every chapter. In Feminine Grace, I decided, you know what? I think I want to do it all as Deidre. I'm going to revive Deidre, and she's going to be working with this one woman, kind of like the woman comes into her office for counseling, like a therapy session. And I hadn't ever written that way. It had always had mostly nonfiction and then sometimes this story thing. So I sent out part one, and they all went, oh, my God, I love it. I'm ready for the rest of it. And I had, I think, I don't even know how far along it was. It was at least halfway. I think I had three parts that were done as opposed to chapters. I did it in parts. And the other parts are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone, gone, gone. But I had the one part that I had sent out to several women, and I said, oh, my God, what do I do? Help. And they sent it back to me.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well,
it was an awful experience. And the worst part is I thought the brand new book I had just finished, Affair Repair, had been lost. And then as I'm talking to my friend, just so upset, waiting for the police to show up, I remembered, oh, my God, I'm waiting for ClickBank to approve it. I've already put it on the server. It's on my website waiting for approval. My body calmed down because I was in shock. I was shaking and had the chills. Calmed down immediately when I remembered that I hadn't lost that book I had just completed. And then I remembered that I had sent it off to a Facebook friend that I used to be in high school with, and she was going to edit it for me. So she had the Word doc.
Oh, nice.
It was like, ah.
It wasn't a total catastrophe.
It was so weird. So, back up. I've got Mosey now. They back up every night at 2. My backup was my second computer. They took the second computer. So that was sort of my, external hard drive.
Right.
Oh, well.
Well, then lessons learned. But,
but if you write it once, you can write it again.
You can. And I have found exactly the same thing. If you go into retrieval mode, it's kind of like you're running from a fire. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Your brain doesn't work the same.
Your brain goes into panic. And it just, I think endorphins plummet and not the good kinds are going up. You mentioned ClickBank. I really want to talk with you about ClickBank because I know that's where you sell a lot of your books, and you're very, very successful with ClickBank. A lot of people have either heard of it or they don't know how it works. Can you kind of walk us through the process of getting your books published on ClickBank?
Well, yeah, for one thing, you do it in PDF, which is fantastic. There's typos in my book. It makes me nuts that I send it out to Amazon and, you know, it's got the typos. Mm-hmm. With a PDF, you can always change it. I've changed my titles before. I've changed my covers. I've added, subtracted chapters. I've fixed typos. So that's a plus. I always record every book. Not everyone has been recorded, but the intention is going to, you know, I've got, like, from flirting to forever needs to be recorded. So mm-hmm. that's great. ClickBank only does digital products. If you have a real product that has to be shipped out, you can't use ClickBank. So that's a biggie. And then what you do is you go in and you have to have a sales page. And I don't call it a sales page when I'm talking to someone who might be a buyer. I call it a book info page. But it's a sales page. And you have to do copywriting. The copywriting is actually more important than the book in that you can't get the book sold if you don't know how to copywrite. And there's an art to that. I've got someone I'm we're partnering. And I'm dying for him to help me because the conversion rate is all important. You know,
for
every 100 people you
get,
it's everything. So with ClickBank, you have to do your you kind of go in and set it up, and it's easy to do. You just go onto the clickbank.com, and you'll be able to see, you know, vendor. You're called a vendor when you have your own product you're selling, as opposed to an affiliate where you're selling other people's products. So you go in there, and it'll tell you exactly what you need. You need to have your sales page. You need to have a thank you page, which is your download page, and
mm-hmm.
that's what they would get, the buyer would get after the sale. And ClickBank takes care of all the money. For one, whatever reason, nobody in Africa seems hardly, I don't think most of the countries, that's the only place, I can't buy your book, they won't take my money. So certain parts of the world, you know, your money doesn't work. But ClickBank takes care of that. They give you a check every 2 weeks. And I've been with them 10 years. I have never had a complaint. Whereas I've tried other companies. I never, either they don't have the whatever to get any sales made, or if they make sales, I never have gotten a check. So I don't ever have any of my books with anybody else. And there are occasions where I have found my books being given away for free.
Oh,
and you have to kind of watch out
then?
For that. People will take the book and just give it away for free. Makes me sick, but that's what
mm-hmm.
happens. You know, that is, people go, well, what about people stealing your book?
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you want to worry about, fine. Don't do it. But I feel like this is how I can get my book out there. I sell a ton, and it's their karma if they want to steal my book and do something bad with it. I don't clutter up my psyche and my spirit worrying about other people being bad.
I'm not Pollyanna.
I know there's a lot of crappy stuff that happens in the world. But I don't put my energy into that. I keep it positive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because people, you know, when I tell them about this, they go, oh, but somebody could, well, yeah, that's right. And they can pass it around. But if they buy a book in the bookstore, they pass it around too.
Well, absolutely.
Don't worry your little head about that stuff.
Now, when you find somebody selling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if you find somebody selling your book, now that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Well, if they're selling it, I haven't had anybody that I've found that's selling it. But I have found a couple of times where they have given it, they're just giving it away, free downloads. But what they do is you pay to be able to, like monthly, to be able to get free downloads on the website.
Oh, gotcha.
So they're making money off of my product, but they're not selling it direct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and one of them says, sorry, you know, we're an offshore we're in another country, you have no recourse.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing
Ooh.
I can do about that.
Well, that just made my stomach hurt.
But I figured, you know what? I hope you have bleeding hemorrhoids. You know, it's their karma. If they want to do that kind of stuff, you know, that's the worst I can think of.
I love the way you think. I have a mean streak like that myself. Yeah, and I might even say it to your face. I don't care. In fact, I probably would. You know,
well, you know, if there's icky stuff that, like the dung beetle. You know, how can I call him a nasty name and keep it lighthearted and fun. I've been to Africa. I've seen dung beetles. They push their little ball of poop around because their eggs are in the poop.
Oh.
So you see this little ball of poop rolling across the road in Africa. The driver says, "Oh, stop! Look!" And we're all going, "Where's the bird? Where's the tiger?" And he says, "No, get out of the car. Come and look." And we watch this little ball of poop going across the road. It's a dung beetle. So I call him the dung beetle.
I'm being told in the chat room that it's just too much information. I have a mental image in my head now, so thank you very much.
Keep it lighthearted. Keep your psyche
exactly.
clean.
Exactly.
You
can't
run
around and
sparkling.
Worry about what other people do. So I want to go to your new website, and then we're going to come back to social media marketing because the two kind of tie in together, actually. You have a brand new website. Let's talk about that very quickly. We've referenced it a couple of times.
We have a brand new website.
The videos, we do. I built it.
You built it.
I did. I'm so excited about this website, y'all. You
Me
don't
too.
Know, but tell about the website.
Well, for one thing, it's real purdy.
It is.
It's real purdy.
It is beautiful. And let me tell you, I have to tell you, that is a template from Ben Cope, the Internet Genius.
Uh-huh.
I do a lot of work with Ben, and he does some remarkable WordPress things. He built that template, and I fell in love with it. So I modified it, and it looks nothing at all like the original template. That's how easy this thing is to work with. But thank you, Ben. I mean, that template was perfect for this website.
Yeah, it's the domain is lipsmackinlove.tv. And I have been tossing videos out onto YouTube for several years, and some are really awful, and I can't even access them because we don't know the passcode anymore, but there they are. And now I'm embarrassed, but I thought, you know what? I ran across this guy. His domain is helpmybusiness.com, but his thing is help my business sucks. He's so cute. He's this guy from, I think, England, and he's kind of like a little bit of a doughboy with kind of, these big glasses, and he's just adorable. And I thought, and he's got it like it's a talk show. I went, I want to do that. I don't want to just toss videos out anymore. So I decided, okay, and I built a studio on my property and a film studio. I also record my books in there. I found an intern at UCSB. They have a film school, and I have this great guy. He's not an intern, actually, but that's how I got him. And he's made movies. So we have these videos. We put one out every day, and that's why WordPress works, is you can set it so that, Denise, set it so that it comes up. Monday's topic comes up on Monday, and Tuesday's topic comes up on Tuesday, and it's just, I'm just so excited about it. Today is like the day we went public.
It is. And I have to say, there's a few tweaks that we're making. We're still working in the bookstore. We're not quite done. And there's a few little tweaks, but oh my goodness, it came together well. You had a vision, and we just started working it. We looked at the site that you referenced and went, we can do better.
His is
much
kind
better.
Yeah, I won't say anything, but ours is much better. It's very professional. I did hire some very professional people here in town to do the opening video, which every video has, each one of my videos has this little opening thing with the lips kissing, and they set the tone for the look of the rest of the site, the colors, and, I'm an autumn, so I don't do blue, but I wanted this aqua blue kind of color, and it's just turned out great. And my autumn clothes look fine against that as a background. So, and I had this vision. I'm in Santa Barbara. It's a tourist town. It's a beach town. I wanted the beach behind me. So my girlfriend did, she loved the idea. She did this internet search and found this amazing wallpaper mural. And I had someone come in and hang that. He's so funny. On the right, I had a professional. I've always hung my own paper. I had this professional come in. I want it done right. He's got the horizon off, like a quarter of an inch.
Hmm.
The pieces don't match.
Oh, God.
So I've got another set of wallpaper. I have to hire someone else to come in and do it. He wouldn't redo it.
That would drive me insane. I'm a picture straight. I have been known to go into model homes and straighten pictures. I can't stand
it. Well, I do the same thing. It does bother me, and I don't know that anyone could see it even when they're looking for it, but it bothers me.
But
so I bought more
there.
Paper. I'm going to hire someone to, you know, rehang it. I just haven't done it yet.
But
I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. We went out. I had someone over yesterday, Cherry Norris, the Hollywood dating director. She's a good friend, and she came in, and we did several segments. We actually went up to the tennis club. My family owns a tennis club. My good ex was a tennis professional, and then now he's a business guy. But that was kind of fun to do a segment up there. And I interviewed Cherry and her husband, who was with us all day. I said, I want you to tell us how what she teaches works in real life. So hopefully he's his mother's French. His dad's Italian, and his accent's pretty strong. So I hope people can understand him. But he's adorable. He's 10 years younger, and they have this great marriage. And so I interviewed them at the tennis club. So that's kind of fun to be out of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our deal. Every day has its own topic. Manly Monday and Titillating Tuesday is because I used to write newsletter and teach a workshop on sex, so I figured I can handle that topic. We have a no embarrassment zone. we'll cover almost every topic.
Right. Well, and you have you took a part of your property and you made a studio, so that's very nice.
I did.
You can actually just walk out your door, walk out to your new studio and have at it.
That's right. We're going to film today 1 to 4 because we're a little short on some of the videos. I want 2 weeks ahead of time that if one of us is unavailable or sick or whatever, we're always covered
camp.
And there's no stress. So.
Well, Kara, let's talk about the importance of social media marketing to sell your books, because one of the reasons we're talking about lipsmackandlove.tv is because it, to some degree, it is a sales site. When you get to the end of each video, it goes to the bookstore. I mean, clearly, that is a brilliant thing to do. And then you're on Facebook. You're all over Twitter. So, talk a little bit about the absolute importance of being out there and having conversations with people and creating relationships with people and communities with people.
Yeah,
that's so important.
When I first got on Facebook, I had been paying a mentor the whole world of internet marketing. I could get real crazy on that. I can get quite livid at a lot of what's going on. And when I got off the marketing merry-go-round, it felt really good. But he encouraged me to do Facebook. It's like, oh, it's the newest thing. It has you get on there and do your business thing. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. And immediately I realized I am turned off by the whole marketing thing. This is about friends. And I liked it right away. And I am very, very, very careful not to market on Facebook. I talk about my books. They know and some people go, I didn't know you were a writer. I talk about my books. But I don't ever, try to sell them. I'll mention I just launched a new book, and I'll put the domain. And that's the only time, like Affair Repair. I've only put it up once, one time. And then all my stuff is listed as far as what I do and what I have available. But mostly, I want to be. I want to create conversations. I want to be inspiring. I want to make people think. I have a hidden agenda. It's not about relationships. It's about personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use relationships as the thing to get their attention. And I enjoy it. But it's really about personal growth, taking responsibility, and realizing everyone has a choice in how their day goes, how their life goes, whether you're happy or not. You have a total choice in that. So my updates, I do at least once a day, usually more than that, are a lot of times just a question or a comment about, are you aware kind of sort of things, and like the difference between how men and women communicate. Women generally sort of meander and they just want to connect. whereas men want to go point A to point B as quickly and concisely as possible. I put that on there, and I got a ton of people communicating. And so they get to know me. They come to visit. They pay attention to what I do. And it's just so sweet that I get all these conversations going to where people...
And you do.
I love it. It's my heart work. It comes from my heart.
Way to put
and
it.
I just have such a good time with it, and I've reconnected with high school friends and made, like Cherry Norris, we met through Facebook, and we saw that we kind of had similar philosophy, and we were both relationship experts. Well, we've got to have lunch. So we got together for lunch. She's in Marina Del Rey. I'm in Santa Barbara. And we ended up actually in a little mastermind group, and, we play together. And I just think Facebook is fantastic.
It is.
Twitter takes more time than I'm willing to put into it to really, really do it, because you have to be following people and commenting and really get involved, like I am on Facebook. So
you and I had a conversation about this very early on, because you are, in my opinion, you are using Facebook brilliantly, and you didn't even know it, because I was starting to watch you, because I would see these comments pop up. I was like, well, that's an interesting comment, and I would go look, and you'd have 20 or 30 responses, say, oh my gosh, how is she doing this? And I started paying attention. And remember, you and I had this conversation.
Yeah,
saying,
yeah.
Keep it up, whatever it is you do, keep it up. Here's the thing about Facebook. It is a brilliant place to do your social media marketing. But if, and you're not doing this, but I'm going to tell this to everybody who's listening or will be listening, if you're cluttering up your Facebook wall with salesy posts, like Kara said, you don't want a direct sell. It's not the place for it.
No.
If you've got blingy postcards, if people are posting their chocolate or mafia wars on your book, on your page, and you're letting them do it, you are losing viewers by the thousands.
I delete those
that is
as quickly
junk.
As I can. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I just delete them.
Well, I'm to the point where if they do it more than twice, I just unfriend them. I'm not going to put up with it. I've asked repeatedly to stop doing it. It's garbage. But that's just my opinion. But when you're on Facebook and doing what you're doing, which is to start a conversation, that's how you get people to pay attention to what you're doing. And you're not selling anything. You're having a conversation, which is exactly what Facebook is all about.
It's
a brilliant way to get people to your products and to your services, because what you're doing by having these conversations with people is you're establishing yourself as an expert in your particular niche or niche. It's brilliant.
And I have two groups on Facebook. I don't like groups because they're not interactive and dynamic like regular account.
Fan pages, yeah.
Yeah, because if you get a thread going, nobody gets notified. You have to go to the group to do anything, and then nobody knows unless they go to the group. Whereas the normal account, it goes out to every friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one group. It's called Heart Connections. And every once in a while, I'll have this kind of a lovely experience. One of them was, it was Heart Connections with Crazy Shirley Omelette or something like that. And I was at this restaurant and sitting at the counter by myself, which I like to do, and I read my book. And it was Sunday morning, and I just looked around, and there's all these people that are just enjoying each other, families and, college-age kids, friends. Sunday morning breakfast is just this very heartfelt time that people spend together. And my heart just went, oh, my God, this is so sweet. If I'd been with someone, I wouldn't have noticed. So I shared that in the group.
Right.
And I say, this is not about marketing. This is just heart connection stories. So that group has like 1,400 members. And then I have another group, which is totally dormant. Anyone who's listening would like to take it over. Is there a joint venture among us? And that was when I had trying to do more joint venture stuff.
Right.
When I lost my way because of the internet. I followed the internet marketers. I lost my way, and I got back to what I should be doing, which is writing my books and just enjoying
doing
life.
Doing what you really, really love.
Well,
and
I was
I tell
so stressed
people.
Out financially and time-wise and emotionally and, trying to do, because they all go and I go, well, you should be doing seven figures. Well, that's your goal.
Right.
Not mine.
Well,
it's a whole other topic, but know, it's about really, where's your heart in what
you do? Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
If the goal is to make even $100,000 a year, that's not where your heart is. I'm sorry. I don't care how much you love money or how much you want even the security of money. That's not where your heart is. Where's your mm-hmm. heart?
Exactly.
What's the topic that you're going to pick that has to do with your heart? I picked relationships, and in particular men, because I knew that's what women, you know, were interested in, and that I would be able to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
But beneath that is personal growth. In Men Made Easy, the most important thing in the book is feminine grace, which is how to live with grace. And, you know, that was sort of my hidden agenda, and I didn't realize so much as I do now. But if people are out there doing their thing and they don't, their heart's not in it. Maybe they've gotten certified as a coach and they don't
right.
know what to coach. And so they just kind of, okay, what would be the popular topic? You're not going to be as good a coach if you don't just, you know, like sit and do a meditation, maybe for weeks. What should I be doing? What's my heart's work? And what is that book? Something about, you know, figure out what your heart wants to do and the money will follow. You know the title. It was really popular. It's not necessarily that the money will follow, but you're going to be more successful in your life if you're doing your heart work. That I really believe that. It's more important.
To go back to marketing, honestly, when you are talking about the things that you are authentic about, that you love, that you're passionate about, that you believe in, you're not selling.
No.
And you're really, I mean, you are marketing at some level, but people smell a car salesman. I'm sorry. Their spidey sense goes straight through the roof.
It's true.
And nobody wants to be sold to.
No.
But when you're coming from a place of absolute joy and passion and you know what you're doing and you love it, people want to hear more about it. They're interested. They're intrigued.
And that you care that you're going to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even that little square, you know, the square underneath the photo, there is a square where you can change kind of like what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating. I look at people's, because I get friended all the time. After I hit 2000, I never had to ask for a friend again.
Right.
But I go on to, I always look on everybody's page before I say yes. Because I'm, you know, you're limited to 5,000, and they'll say, "I'm going to help you find your way." I'm offended by that they're making an assumption that I need to find my way. We all do, but what I say is, I'm a writer doing my best to make a difference. There's a subtle difference in that, but I've noticed that I'm offended when they say, "I'm going to help you become this amazing female entrepreneur." It's making an assumption that they're, maybe it's just my, it is my stuff. Clearly, I'm being reacted by it. But it's like they're better than me, and they know automatically that I need their help. And it's off-putting. Does this? I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
No,
there's
makes perfect
a subtlety
sense
to it that it's about friends on Facebook. It's friends.
Right.
And
well, that's just it. And, you know, if they're trying to market to you or tell you that they can do something better than you can, it is offensive.
And
really
without
is.
Them knowing what my story is. You know,
exactly.
You have to know. That's the thing. You have to get to know someone to find out what it is that how you can share your heart and your wisdom and your knowledge with only those who want it. There's a subtlety there, and I don't know that I'm able to put it into words quite. But I think
you
that's
do a brilliant job on
Facebook. LinkedIn
it
is more business. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business, and I don't like LinkedIn. I couldn't find my way. It's like I've been told there's a party here.
There is.
I can't find it. Whereas Facebook, it's like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of smack dab in the middle of the party.
You are, and the thing with LinkedIn is that they're much stuffier over there. It's kind of
well,
like you went to a party.
Yeah.
You went in your blue jeans and everybody's wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah,
you know, Facebook, everybody's in flip-flops and, you know, a tube top. So.
Yeah, I really love Facebook. It's just the sweetest thing. And I just kind of stumbled into what I'm doing. And I don't always put on, like, philosophical updates. Sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, I'll just say I'm going to go, you know, to lunch with a friend.
Right.
But mostly I try to put something on that's inspiring, that'll inspire some kind of conversation. I think it, and this is, I don't mean to sound egotistical, I think the people who like my updates, they count on that.
They do, and you will find that more and more as time goes on. And they come to expect that you're going to be there daily, that you'll have something to say that either affects them, impacts them, or makes them curious.
Yeah.
And again, I know we're talking a lot about Facebook, but Facebook, if you work it properly, if you are doing what you really should be doing as far as marketing on Facebook, it's subtle, but you do need to market yourself, but you need to create a friendship and a sense of camaraderie.
It's
and
about
as time
the heart.
Goes on,
yeah.
Exactly. And as time goes on, those people become your clients, they become your friends, they become your, literally, and this has happened to me so many times, they become your pep rally standing behind
Absolutely.
You. I get referrals from people. Yes. I have referrals from people who will email me and say, well, so-and-so on Facebook referred you. And I'll have to tell them, honestly, I don't know who so-and-so is.
Right.
Could
right.
you make an introduction so I can tell them thank you?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a remarkable way to create a lot of buzz about your business if you do it within the confines of I'm forming a community and I'm making friends.
That's right. That's right.
Which
and
is difficult for marketers to understand.
Of everybody else and where they are.
Yeah.
One of the things I never, when I was friending people, you know, my goal was 1,000 friends and then 2,000 friends and then I didn't have to do it anymore. When I was friending people, I never did it without a heartfelt message. And when I accept a friendship, I always send a message and then click confirm.
Mm-hmm.
I never, unless they, if I can't, there's all these privacy settings now. I can't even send them a message. Like, God. So I have to confirm, and then I go over and write them a note. I never just confirm. And this is about reaching out and creating that, like, some kind of a relationship.
And it's also good manners, which, you know, in the day of the Internet is lacking. In fact, I posted yesterday, one of my last guests was on Blog Talk Radio, sent me a lovely thank you card in the mail. People just don't do that anymore.
I know.
And I was so excited, so I posted it on the Internet. She said if I'd known you were going to do that, I would have, you know, written it nicer, but it was lovely. And I was, you know, I thought that was such a sweet thing to do.
Yeah.
Again, you're building that sense of, you know, friendship and community. And,
right.
you know, you're just grateful. You're excited to be connected with these people, and they know it. So, listen, can we take a question in the on the line? Do you have a moment?
Sure.
Okay. Judy, are you there? I think I logged you in. Judy?
This is Judy.
All righty. I knew you were there lurking somewhere.
Lurking. I'm lurking good. This is Judy, the journaling genius. It's nice to meet you, Kara.
Hi.
So I have a question. Do you ever come to the Northern California? I'm in San Jose. We'd love to have lunch.
Ah. Well, I don't have any trips planned north, but you never know.
I might get to Santa Barbara. You never know.
You never know. That's right. Probably more likely on your way to L.A.
Yeah, although I usually fly, I must admit. That's a drive.
Oh, yeah, that is a pretty good drive. From Santa Barbara, it's just as easy to drive, but that extra 2 hours, you're right.
That's a bit much, yes.
Yeah.
I know, I enjoy this is thoroughly enjoyable. I love it. You hit on some good points there. You know, the whole man thing is always so fun to chat about.
Yes, that's a whole other topic.
And I'm glad we've mostly moved away from the male bashing, because that was going on for a while, and that really bothered me. It's like, there's
we were male bashing?
No, you guys. No, no, in society. For a while there.
Men
against women stuff, and that's
absolutely.
Just so not.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. I'm a real champion for men. The only one I bash is the dung beetle, and I try to do that as lightly as I can. But, yeah, it disturbs me a lot of what's going on. It's very emasculating for men, and they just are losing their way. Men commit suicide more than women do, and people don't
really?
Know that. They are very much hurting inside.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a shame.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is.
Well, That is very sad. Well, Judy, did you have a question? Because I know you had a lot of questions in the chat room. Do you have anything that you wanted to ask Kara?
Well, no, I love the things you said about the whole book thing. I haven't written the book yet. I have products rather than books. I created decks of cards. But I love that. That was great. I was making furious notes about that, and the ClickBank as well was very interesting. But one thing about, you mentioned that the internet has changed things as far as radio and media,
yeah.
And not specifically about social media, but what about, I mean, obviously we're on an internet radio show.
Right.
Well, how does that, can you comment about that now versus, you know, would you do the same thing and go to cities and get on to live radio versus internet radio?
No, I do
again?
Live radio. You want to go where the people are, the people who live there are involved.
Mm.
And internet radio, because like this show, I don't know about yours, Denise, but mine, most of my listeners are later, after the fact. They listen to the recording.
Right.
And
right.
you want to inspire people in the morning who are driving, or in the afternoon who are driving, because those are the hottest time, you know, they get the most listeners. You want to get their attention, because then their warm bodies will end up in seats in the bookstore.
Right, it's a call to action, because there's
yeah,
a definite
yeah.
time
you,
frame
you
that they have to
that
act.
People that are, yeah, paying attention to what's going on in
right.
town.
Right.
Got it. I'm writing this down.
You know, Denise, there's another quick thing I wanted to mention about ClickBank.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, this is just one story. I have several hundred affiliates who help sell my books. I have one affiliate who makes over $100,000 a year doing nothing but marketing other people's books. She's really good at writing articles. She does article marketing.
Mm.
She makes over $100,000 a year doing what she enjoys
yeah.
doing.
Well,
so there's
you know,
a lot of writers who might not be... wanting to write a book or ready to write a book, but know how to, you know, like three ways to whatever or the seven most important whatevers. You put those out on the article sites, and you can market other people's stuff and enjoy writing and, you know, kind of do it in your jammies.
No, Judy, go ahead.
Journal in your jammies.
There you go.
Jammies. Oh, is that what you're doing? Okay.
That's one of my things. Yeah, you can come journal in your jammies.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a whole market out there that a lot of people don't know about. You know, you do the internet marketing gurus. They don't tell you about that stuff. You don't need an internet marketing guru if you know how to write.
Good enough. Well, you know, I recently interviewed somebody who does exactly that. She has made millions
mm-hmm.
with ClickBank and affiliate marketing. She's strictly an affiliate marketer. That's what she does.
That's what this one was,
and
yeah.
And she's extremely well known for doing exactly that. She's huge on ClickBank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ClickBank is one of my favorite places to go.
Absolutely.
Now, are there any others that you would recommend that people stay away from that you've
No, I don't know them well enough. All I know is I tried a few as they came around.
Okay.
And I never made a dime with them. And I don't
okay.
do, like, I have a website that you're working on to get it, you know, kind of up to snuff, livewithlove.com. I want to market other people's products, but I don't, if they have their own affiliate program, like a lot of people have their own thing and then they're responsible for sending me a check, I've found those either nothing gets sold or they have to remember to do the bookkeeping. And
well,
so
it takes
I like
30
ClickBank.
Days.
I really
yeah,
like
it,
ClickBank.
Yeah. It can take 30 days, and if they've had to issue a refund, then you don't get it. It gets a little messy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well, I have a friend. She's really great about it, but she goes 60 days.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I'd pass on that one.
Well,
okay.
You know, she's a friend, and I get these nice checks. But,
yeah,
You know, but I just found out yesterday she does a 60-day thing, so.
Oh, wow. Well, do we have anything else that we kind of missed? I know we covered a lot of territory. And
yes.
To be honest with you, I'm going to have this one transcribed because there are so many pointers in here that I'm going to have it transcribed and put it up on, you know, your site, my site. It's going everywhere.
Okay, great.
And you're
well,
right. We're talking about, Judy's question, we're talking about radio. When you made the comment that these get downloaded later, they do. I go back and I look at my stats, not compulsively. I look at my stats when I'm booking the next show or, you know, creating the show for the following week. And I'll see that, you know, 300 to 400 or 500 people have downloaded the show. And I'll, where did they come from?
I know. It's
but
fascinating.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to, I went several months without doing my show because I didn't like, I was kind of changing a lot of things in my life. That was kind of when I got off the merry-go-round and marketing merry-go-round and,
mm-hmm.
and put it on hold. And I kept thinking I should dump it, just quit, you know, it's hanging over my head. Should I be doing it? I went in and there's like 45 listens, 4,500,
mm-hmm.
4,500 listens. It's like, oh, God, and I haven't even done that many shows, so, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
And people would write to me and go, oh, I listened to such and such. It was so inspiring. So now I'm doing it again and starting it up.
I was going to dump my show. You know, I decided about October, November last year. It takes a lot of time to put these shows on.
It
There's
does.
A lot of promotion time. You have to, you know, talk with, the, you know, let's say you as a guest, I need to speak with you beforehand. And, yeah, as busy as we all are these days, it does take up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And I really was going to say, well, you know, it's, I don't see any real point in doing this. And I looked at my stats, and I set up a little survey, and I asked people, is this something I should continue to do? I got hammered. Okay. You know, I won't shut it down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. It's a very important form of communication. And the reason I do it is so people can actually hear from me and from other experts in our various industries what it is that we're doing and what it is that we're just so very intensely passionate about. Great, great format to do that in.
Well, yeah, it's like I have my radio show. I mean, yeah, my TV show.
Your TV show.
Those
yeah.
are 8 to 10 minutes. Your radio show, you can book up to, 90 minutes. If you have
yeah.
something you really want to go in-depth or you want to cover several topics,
mm-hmm.
it's great. I have mine set for half an hour. I can take one topic and really get into it.
Right.
So that's one of the nice benefits, too, over other. And people aren't going to spend as much time reading an article that
mm-hmm.
would take you 30 minutes to talk about.
True enough. It's just the way things are going these days. We have to really be alive to how social media marketing, including Internet radio, including Facebook and Twitter, really impacts how we do business on the Internet.
Yeah.
Very important.
Oh, yeah. If you're not doing that, you're missing the boat.
Yeah, you're standing still pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kara, thank you so much for being with me here today. You've given some really, really great information, and I will be transcribing this. So
good.
I know everybody
yeah, it was
appreciates
fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. Judy, thank you for being here.
If
you're still there.
Thanks for having
me. Oh, okay. So listen, thank you everybody for being here, and the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Kara O. We're wishing you a wonderful weekend. And Kara, happy birthday. Your birthday is Sunday. Have a fabulous birthday.
Well, you have a lip-smacking day.
I will. Thanks, everybody. Bye.